Previously on Quest Laid Plans.
The dedication ceremony of the statue of your beloved lost friend Chiron was rudely interrupted by a young Remoraz bursting out of the ground and swallowing up the head and vice head of the adventuring guild. And then it barfed out a wraith, and you are now contending in addition to that with 3 Strigoi.
Love to be re-traumatized.
The Strigoi is going to fly over to Aveline, and it's sort of like licking itself like a cat. It appears to be like licking all of the blood off of itself.
Is that its own blood, or is that Brex's blood?
It is Brex's blood.
Have we seen vampiric shit of this sort before?
This sort of necrotic-y, dark flavored magic is not super known and developed in this world. You see Porla watch everything that's going down with the Chiron statue. She looks distraught. I'm not doing this again. Not again.
Go, Porla. I don't know what you're doing, but it looks shiny and great.
I'm gonna cast a second level moonbeam.
You see the other Strigoi that is in this moonbeam giving, it is birthing a sturge out
no,
of its proboscis.
No.
I don't like any of this.
And you see the sturge part and go back to its wounded comrades, and the 3 of them fly off the way they came.
I'm down. I have 27 hit points.
No!
Gabriel crouches down and touches your head.
Come back to me, beautiful Naraya.
Please stop singing. Thank you, but please stop singing.
When did Windswift get so badass?
I've made a huge mistake.
Porla is going to look at Gabriel, who is not doing great, is going to look at Naraya, who despite having just killed the wraith is still looking, you know, very roughed up. And then Porla's going to look at the statue, and she's going to cast Cure Wounds on the statue. You see Brex get chomped on. Brex falls. You see Gabriel say, Porla, I'm sorry, and command the statue to fly full speed into the Remoraz's mouth. Then you see Gabriel get knocked back onto his ass like 10 feet away, and the statue explodes into a bajillion little tiny shards, which inside the Remoraz's mouth takes it out easily.
No!
So at this point, you've just got this stunned Strigoi on the ground.
Esther, like, sees that it's still alive and is like... And then I think the second that it dies, Fink just, like, disappears like that. And he just, like, stands up and just hands it to Kit.
Yeah.
Figure this thing out.
Welcome to Quest Laid Plans, the podcast that asks the question, can an old party learn new tricks? I am your dungeon master, Megan Kelleher, and with me are the 5 members of my favorite NSYNC cover band.
Hi, I'm Maya S. Ming, and I play Windswept Palm, Air Genasi Gnome Rune Knight Fighter, who hopefully will not be saying bye bye bye.
Oh.
I can't follow that up, but hi, I'm Phil Revelo, playing Kit Marple, a Water Genasi monk.
Hello, I am Jesse B. Kohler, playing a human boy, just in boy, golden boy, Esther Mithians.
Sorcerer.
Sorcerer. Shit!
I'm Jamie Hathaway, playing Aveline Yavri Skywatcher, who wants you back.
It's gonna be May, Netamari Bonchimo, playing Naraya Wentzwarren, a rogue wizard halfling.
And now I will be tearing up your heart.
Yeah!
Great. Great. Good. Figure this thing out.
We'll see what we can see.
They have our blood. The other ones...
Yeah.
Got away.
Which, wait, this one, who did this one bite?
Me and Aveline.
And me.
So I'm just going to see if I can investigate the body again. Like, I'm specifically looking for, like, any kind of sign that it was under control of something else. Because, like, we've never seen this type of creature before, correct?
Right.
Can I want to help. I want to, like, make my way over to the rest of the gang. And, Kit, if you don't mind, I can help a little.
Yeah.
I'm gonna detect magic on this bitch.
Yeah. No, that sounds good.
Which is not gonna stack with your investigation, but it's different perspectives.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll tell us sort of like how to look at it, I guess.
Yeah. It does take me 10 minutes, so I'm just gonna be watching you investigate for a second.
Okay, so we'll have you casting your 10-minute detect magic. Kit, roll investigation.
Okay. Wait, are you giving me help or you're doing?
I'm doing detect magic.
Can I give you the help action? Because we're next to each other.
Sure. I would accept that if that's okay.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, just pointing to things on this thing's body.
Yeah, we're just like, what?
Another
what?
Pair of eyes couldn't hurt.
What is this? That's an 11.
You can tell that... yeah, you don't see anything like that physically that would indicate that. Like you said, you haven't seen this type of thing before, but, you know, nothing really jumps out at you. And yeah, so that's what I'll say for now.
Okay. No, that's fine.
And I'm going to come back to Naraya. I'm going to say that Porla, you know, ran over to Brex and healed him and then immediately went to Cabriel and is sort of fussing over him and healing him. But also you can hear her in sort of low tones kind of scolding him and him sort of defensively talking back to her.
For just half a second, I'm distracted from my somatic components because I turn around to just fucking shake my head at them, at Porla in particular.
I think Windswip would go over to them because she's not being, well, she hasn't contributed to the investigation of the Strigoi at all. First of all, if Brex needs any help getting up, she will help them up. Also, I think she shrinks now. I think the giants might only last so long. So she's just like, as she walks back, her form just kind of like dwindles back down to just her small little self again.
Yeah, you go to help Brex up, and then Brex is like, you couldn't have stayed big for like one more second? Help me a little more?
It only lasts so long. I'm sorry. I should have come over sooner.
I understand.
You okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. And you are, once you're closer, you can sort of overhear what's going on between Porla and Cabriel, and you hear Porla be like, you know how hard we worked on that, how much money we had to raise, contacting the right artisans, how could you do that? And Cabriel is like, well, I didn't know it was going to do that. You have to understand, I don't think I could have done that if I tried. Like, I don't know how to make a statue explode. It was like, she's like, it was like what, Cabriel? Like, what, what? It was like, I don't know, like, there was already some kind of magic in there, or, like, there was something pushing back at me. I don't know how to describe it. She's like, well, great. I think I would know if there was magic in there. Your mistakes have really, really cost me.
Hey, Porla. I'm really, thanks for all the heals you were doing with everyone. I'm really glad that, Cabriel and Brex are still alive, so thanks for that. Do you have any idea why that thing came out of the ground like that? What were you, like, how did that happen?
I don't know, but I agree with Kit that it's probably important that we take a look at what we have here, which is that one creature over there. Excuse me, and she sort of excuses herself from you and makes her way over to Kit.
Paula, I just think it's really good that no one died. That's all.
She stops and turns back to you, and she's like, I'm glad that the bar is so high when it comes to me. And she turns back and makes her way back over.
That's not what I meant. Great. Well, I guess Winslip is gonna very sadly and guiltily go over and look at, are there any pieces of the statue left?
No, they're all
it was obliterated, and also they're all inside the...
Could she at least collect some dust?
I think it's all inside the Remora.
Like fully inside.
I will say, like, now that it's dead, it's probably not so hot to the touch. So if you wanted to really, like, get in there and pry its mouth open and dig around, you certainly can.
Yeah, I think she would.
I think she would, too, because she's, like, an adventuring kind of lady. Yeah, give me a strength check to see if you can sort of pry open this giant thing's maw.
Strength is 16.
That's not quite gonna do it. And Winswip, here's what I'm gonna say. You're small again. You are trying, with whatever you have of your strength left after this battle, to forcefully open a gigantic worm insect creature's mouth that is clenched shut in rigor mortis. And as you do so, you feel something inside of you just give out. And I think we need to, at this point, take a look at your chronic pain component that we've talked about.
Let's do that, shall we?
All right, year 6.
Oh, 10 of swords. Another swords card.
Oh, your character suffers a serious injury that will give them chronic pain from now on. What happened?
Oh no. Okay. So, the first thing that comes to mind when I think about what would Winswift be doing that would result in this kind of thing, I think she's on another expedition with her mom. I think she's really trying to make this happen, especially after this rejection from Kit. It's like the only thing she's got going on, but I'm picturing like something dramatically going wrong. Like they're in this deep underground type site. There's a rock slide, there's a cave-in, you know, something of that nature. But, like, yeah, she gets stuck and, like, one of her legs is just, like, twists around and gets, like, trapped under this, like, cave-in or something. And, yeah, it's just, like, that dramatic, like, this sort of Indiana Jones kind of chase scene, except she gets caught, you know, before actually getting out.
So, I mean, I think that obviously we're dealing with a fantasy world where there's, like, curative magic, and so these sorts of things, like, you don't hear about, you know, like, a chronic pain situation or disability or anything, but I think that, I don't know, in my world, I feel like there is room for that, and I feel like curative magic would have its limits, and I think that, like, if you were trapped down there for a while, it was maybe a while before Winswip got a chance to see, like, a healer, and at that point, it's maybe too late to totally fix it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I can totally see that, yeah. It could have been a situation where, like, she wandered off to a less safe part of the site alone. Maybe she still has, like, a chip on her shoulder. She, like, wants to prove that, like, she can be as good at this as her mom is, and kind of takes a big risk. And no one knows where she is when this cave-in happens, and so it, like, takes hours or, like, maybe even a couple days or something awful before she's pulled out. And yeah, by then, cure wounds is just not enough to permanently fix that.
Yeah, and so I think the mechanic that we're thinking of using in this game for this, like, chronic pain, recurring injury element is basically very heavily based on the addiction recovery system from Dimension 20 on Sleeping City.
Oh, yay! I'm a fan.
Yeah. Yes. Designed by Brennan Lee Mulligan and Joe DeSimone, based on consultancy provided by Joe DeSimone and Sosam Lilly. So essentially, I mean, it's pretty faithful to it, except instead of, like, relapse with addiction, it would be, like, a recurrence of the injury to the point where you would be, like, kind of taken out of, you know, battle or, like, unable to proceed like normal. So you would start with a d20 as your, like, pain dice. And every time something comes up that would be, like, aggravating or triggering to the injury, you would roll that. And if you crit fail, you then have to go down to the next smallest size dice. And if you end up, you know, rolling a 1 on the d4 eventually, then you would have, like, a big
reoccurrence of the injury in a way that would be super problematic is how that would work. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I follow. Okay, yeah, that's cool. So what causes the trigger of making me roll that dice? Do you just decide, like, this seems like a situation where you would roll the dice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, like, story-wise, like, if you, like, really exert yourself in a big way, or you, like, you know, fail a physical ability check or something. And in order to keep the dice from shrinking also, you have to use sort of, like, short rest downtime to, like, do something recuperative, like rest, or I don't know what that would be. Like, you can decide if it's, like, stretches or fantasy salon paws or something, whatever, like, keeps you feeling fit.
Yeah, no, I think that makes a lot of sense. And if this is, like, this is year six, and, yeah, by the time we're in present day game, you know, she'll be an old hat at this. We got an 8, so we're good. But it doesn't feel great.
It doesn't feel great, but you are able to recognize your limits, that if you were to continue pushing, things could go south.
Shoot. Yeah. Wish Giant had lasted a little longer.
All right. Nariah, you were casting your Detect Magic?
Yeah. I think I'm pretty focused on it, first of all, because I really want to help. And help Kid in particular, because I feel like we're trying to figure this thing out. But also I'm, like, actively ignoring the rest of the scene. I'm like, I am doing something important. The important thing is right here. And for 10 minutes, I'm not looking at anything else that's happening.
So, like, my investigation didn't work. But while, like, I'm waiting for her to, like, detect magic, I'm, like, feeling the body mm-hmm. to, like, try to just see, like, where the blood went.
Okay. You can feel and honestly kind of even see that it's, like, all in the tummy. It's like you're holding, like, a water skin with limbs and a proboscis.
That's disgusting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that the detect magic revelation, when it finally becomes clear to you at the 10-minute mark, is Porla hasn't arrived yet to examine the body. She's stopped on the way to help heal Aveline. While she's crouched down and healing you, Aveline, Nariah, you feel your spell after about 10 minutes kind of click into place, and you get this strong sense of a magical energy. You feel a couple of things. You sense dissipating necromantic magic from this creature who is now dead, and so any magic that's being generated from it, you would have learned in magic school, is, you know, just kind of waning at this point, as its vitals are sort of, I mean, you know how you die, but then, like, certain things keep going for a few hours. Your magical energy also is in that school of body function. So you feel necrotic energy coming from that. And as I said, necrotic magic, necromancy, is not, it's just not as known. It's not, if you were to, like, really list out all the schools of magic, like, you wouldn't include it just because it's urban legend and, you know, oh, the dark arts, like, who really knows anything about that? So you're feeling this magic that you assume must be necromantic because it's this dark, horrible energy that you've never experienced before and you saw what it was doing. Mm-hmm. The main magical energy that you're feeling, though, is you're feeling this strong sense of enchantment energy that has been cast over it that's not coming from it. That, too, is sort of dissipating, but not as rapidly. And you get... Can you give me an Arcana check?
Yep. I have +8 to Arcana. That's great because I rolled a 15.
Okay. You can't tell whether this is, like, specifically a spell. Like, usually you can tell, okay, this is the result of a spell that was cast discreetly on this. And if it was the work of a spell, you're having a hard time pinpointing what exactly it was. It's a little more diffuse and blurry. All you can tell is that it is some sort of powerful force of enchantment.
Is anyone else, like, still around us?
Yeah, I am.
I'll say that.
Kit's still holding this thing. Yeah.
Kit's holding it, and Porla is now approaching you, and anybody else who wants to approach certainly can.
Yeah, I think I'm still, like, sitting on the floor, kind of just being cured by Porla. slightly reluctantly. We still kind of have a bit of a weird vibe.
And she just kind of, like, healed you a tiny bit and then left to go look at this dead bat, so.
I'm gonna look up at everyone. Okay, so here's the thing. We obviously already knew that this didn't just happen out of nowhere. Someone invited those things here, and I'm assuming it's because A, they, whoever they are, knew that someone is gathering and they just needed a lot of people, or B, and that's the, like, egotistical version, is that they knew that we were gathering, which I don't know who would do that. Anyway, the point is that this thing is full of magic, also full of blood, but full of magic and full of weird, like, I don't want to say necromancy because I wouldn't know, but it's fucked up. We should probably go elsewhere. We're very much in public.
Yeah, and you, at this point, you look up and you realize that the crowd that had been there had sort of dispersed and was just hiding behind rocks and trees and getting as far away as possible. And luckily, nobody appears to have been hurt other than just the general scrambling, falling down, hiding in prickly bushes type of injuries. And as they sort of start to come out, you realize you're very much not alone. You see Chiron's parents just kind of shocked. They, you know, looking around for Cabriel and then sort of running to meet each other. And you see other adventurers in the guilds looking around for any trace of Kyrelius and Willa and not finding any. So it starts to be a little bit more chaotic and noisy as people start to emerge.
So as I notice people coming around, I sort of bend down and I pick up some dirt. Are there some, would you say that it's sort of like sandy soil? Could there be grains of sand in the soil that's around?
I don't know, and I'm not saying that, like, I'm saying that because I don't know ecologically, like, yes, it's my pretend world, but basically, I've already really established that it's very, like, hard, cold, frozen ground, and I don't know if there tends to be sand in that kind of, like, it's not that you couldn't get a chunk of it, I just literally don't know if there's sand in that kind of thing.
Okay. I'm not actually not sure about the answer to that either. I mean, I guess it's like if there's any kind of ground up rocks, right? Like that would.
Yeah, like at the very least, there would be ground up rock from the massive creature bursting out of the earth. Like, I think there some earth would have been pulverized into a powder. Sure.
Okay, so I'm just going to pick some of that up and I'll look at Naraya. And Porla's coming over.
Yeah, Porla's over at this point and is kind of like pointedly sort of. Well, I would say looking over your shoulder, but she's a lot shorter than you, so maybe looking over your elbow.
I, like, look at Aveline and Windswept, and I say, neither of you wants this blood in this. You don't like the fact that your blood is in this thing, right?
Not a fan, no.
No. Definitely prefer my blood being inside my body and not.
Okay.
Inside.
We don't want that blood back, though. I mean, that would be very.
Yeah. I basically just motion for them. I guess, like, I want to sort of walk with people away from the crowd. And as we're walking away, I'm going to, like, open its mouth. I'm going to, like, sprinkle grains of sand in and cast Destroy Water on the blood in its stomach. Can I do that?
Give me one moment. That's fucking genius. And I
rule of fucking cool, Megan.
I know, rule of cool, but I just, there's, I need to check on some things.
He did so much. He secured himself the material components.
I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I'm saying I need to look at some things to then know what happens next.
Oh, dear.
Okay. I'm gonna allow it. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. You open this Strigoi's snoot, and you which I guess is...
Fink has a snoot. Fink has a snoot. It has like a bloody ripped off proboscis that was injecting acid into my body minutes ago.
Listen, yeah. Snoots can come in many shapes and forms.
No. Don't snoot shame this Strigoi.
I am snoot shaming this Strigoi.
Yeah, so you sprinkle your magical sand into this non-snoot, and you feel its stomach start to shrink, and while it's still going, because it's a process, right, it's quite a lot of blood, and it's, you know, you feel Porla urgently place her hand on your forearm and say, wait, these creatures are clearly capable of self-healing based on incorporating the biological material of other creatures. Before we get rid of all of the blood in there, let me look at it and determine how it's healing. This could help me.
What?
Corla, are you?
We never know what there is to be learned about the healing magic. I mean, nature has all sorts of secrets that we don't.
Are you gonna then use your knowledge to heal something that's not, stone?
Oh, no.
Can I make a perception check on her?
Or insight?
I would say maybe insight is what you want to do. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. I have +7 to both because they're wisdom. I rolled a 2. That's a 9. So she healed me.
She wants... Yeah, she wants it. She, like, she wants the
blood stuff.
You can tell that she wants to do... She wants the blood to stay in the Strigoi because she wants to research it.
Porla, I can't stop it. You know, once that spell starts, it's done. And I mean, you did a great job healing us out there. You know, it was, we couldn't have done it without you. I don't see why you would need anything more.
You're right. Sorry. I just, you know what? It's just been a long day. Nothing has about today has been easy, and that would have been true if it had gone the way I expected it to, and as we can all, I think, attest to, it certainly did not. So, it was great to see you all, but I think I'm gonna call it a night.
That's fucked up.
Can I do, I want to cast Detect Thoughts on her.
Oh, shit.
Hell okay. Yeah.
We're just not trusting this bitch.
Something is, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I straight up say that's fucked up, and I do direct eye contact to Esther, because fucking do something about it.
Yeah.
Winslip is taking the more diplomatic approach. She's like, oh, Porla, you don't have to leave. I mean, we can just, if you'd like to talk, you know, maybe just like...
We should go inside somewhere. We should be going somewhere which is not here and talking about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this was hard for a lot of us, but especially you, and we don't want to just leave you alone.
Look, I appreciate it. It's just sometimes I just, and you can see her sort of tearing up and saying, look, I just need to be alone right now, okay? And I'm going to do detect thoughts. You have to roll for that, right?
No, you have to roll. If I want to go deeper, the target knows that you're probing into its mind. And unless you shift your attention to another creature's thoughts, the creature can use its action on its turn to make an intelligence check. Okay. Well, I'd first like to just do...
Yeah, I'll tell you the surface level thoughts.
Yeah.
Sure. Surface level thoughts are, I need to get out of here. I'm freaking the fuck out, and I just can't be around people right now because I don't think I'm just going to say something to somebody that's going to make somebody mad. You hear, she's pissed at Kit for the blood thing. She wanted that Strigoi with the blood in it to bring home. And she is also very, very pissed at Cabriel for the statue thing.
Well, you're more upset that the statue is broken than that we're all alive?
But no, of course I'm happy you're all alive, but I'm not surprised. I mean, we're... Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. The most important thing is that we're all alive.
I understand that this can be triggering. And I think we're all smart enough to know what that looked like and what it felt like. And it's fucked up. And it's okay to be upset about it. But also, you can't... Look, I saw you, like, giving Gabriel a hard time about it, and it's what had to be done, and I know it was a very beautiful piece and a very big... It looked so much like her, and that can be hard, but also whoever made it can make another one, and you can't really do that with actual people.
You're right. It took a long time. I've been working really hard to get this right because, I don't know, I think on some level I felt like if we could just do this right, if we could just get this night right, then it would, at least on some level, absolve me a little bit of
not being able to save her. But you know what? You're right. People's lives are the most precious thing, and nothing can make it right, so it doesn't matter.
None of us saved her. Porla, it's not just on you.
Well, I'm the cleric, right? It's my job to save people so that you can then, you know, do damage. I had kind of one job, and...
And it was my job to hit things, and then that thing flew away. So, I mean, look, I don't want to make this about me. Because it's not about me. I just want you to be kinder to yourself. You worked really hard, and this all got fucked up, but it's not your fault that it got fucked up. We don't know. This was something. This somebody did this.
Someone invited this thing here, and we have to talk about that. Maybe not tonight, because it's been a very long day, but again, this thing didn't just show up.
No, it's
supposed
to
be an electric fence, keeping it out. And somebody broke it or turned it off. These things don't normally come here. Because they're kept
out
for a
reason. Has anyone really pissed someone off in the past several years? Like, do any of you have, like, a new arch nemesis that we need to know about? Or anything?
Not that I know of. I mean,
do people just go around just creating arch nemesis? Is that, like, a thing?
My God, and Kyrelius and Willa, I mean, they're just straight up gone. You're right, I can't go home because I don't know who I answer to anymore. And if the answer is no one and I'm at the top of the chain, then I have a lot of work to do and I need probably to start with figuring out what's going on with this fence.
If you don't have like a fancy office or anything, I am staying at my brother's and he's out of town. So I do have an entire house that we can just go and regroup and talk about this and maybe clean up a little. And not be doing this again. Just outside.
Give me a persuasion check.
What is my persuasion just? I'll get used to this character sheet one day.
Can I help? I said what I said before, and I'll just say, yeah, Porla, even if you have to take on your responsibilities, this isn't... You need some time. Everyone needs a little bit of time. It's better if we're all together. I think that's when we work best.
Does that count as a help action, please? I need it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you still have charges on your thingy?
I do. So you also get to add, you get advantage and you get to add +2.
Wow. Okay, so the higher of my rolls was 11. +2, which is my charisma, is 13. +2 from Kit is 15.
Okay. Question. How long does detect thoughts last?
Up to 1 minute. And I do think this whole time, Esther has just been sort of like stroking the copper cuff, sort of seeming like it's absentmindedly, but just like kind of like...
He's doing the like Charles Xavier like...
Yeah. Just very casually fidgeting, but actually fully like trying to like see how deep he can go without letting her know, playing with that like edge of her thoughts.
Just edging.
Just edging.
Say that he's edging her.
Just edging, seeing how deep he can
go. I didn't say that. Everyone else said things.
You're just describing your extremely hot PC playing with his cool magical earring and saying shit and expecting the people not.
So I'll say this. I will say that during this conversation, her surface level thoughts are matching what she's saying. So it's essentially like just a really good insight check, and it's like she's saying what she means on the surface level at the very least. She, you know, is realizing that she doesn't know who her boss is anymore. She doesn't know if anybody works above her in the chain of command. She doesn't want to have to keep saying no to people when they're all clearly trying to get her to do a thing, but she also is like, I have all this stuff to do. So everything she's saying basically is what she's thinking. Now, do you want to do the official like probe deeper thing?
Yeah.
Our collective persuasion check panned out first because...
I know, I don't want to like all this emotional work that was just done.
Yeah, let's see how it panned out. So you see Porla actually look at you and look at Kit and kind of, I mean, she's been kind of crying this whole time, but just start to tear up again and say, you're right. Look, I don't know if I can
go right now. I really have to check on this fence, but I promise I will come over. Just give me like an hour, okay?
Porla, I'm sorry about this. And I'm gonna try to go.
Deeper. So even if you succeed, you've already made her super sus by saying it out loud.
No. If it succeeds or fails, they still know.
She always knows. Yeah. She could choose to just automatically let him in if her shit's clear.
So yeah, I'm just like reading through. You shift your attention to another creature's thoughts, a wisdom saving throw. If it fails, you gain insight into its reasoning, its emotional state, and something that looms larger in its mind. If it succeeds, the spell ends.
What's the DC?
15.
Porla got an 18.
Oh, no.
She's very wise. She looks at you and is like, Esther.
Yeah.
I thought we were all on better terms than that. We're really probing into each other's minds now? I mean, God, I know that we've drifted apart a little bit, but I thought on today, of all days, we could at least try to...
It's not a little bit.
You know what?
It's been 10 years. Things change.
Yeah, you're right. No. Things change. Listen, I'll catch up with you guys later, I guess. I have to go to my fancy office and check on some things. And she turns and goes. You see her walk down the hill from whence you guys came, and she's off.
I mean, fucked up way to kind of do that, but we were all thinking it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I don't trust her. I just,
that didn't
I don't know
go
why.
Very
I just
well.
I mean,
why would she want
the blood of you all to stay in this like freaking thing?
I mean, yeah, that made me feel pretty uncomfortable. But we don't think that she had anything to do with this, right? I don't think
she had anything to do with it. It's just her priorities are weird and we've all... No one's having a good time.
Someone had to have done something with it, right? Someone had to have known how to break that fence down.
I have a question as well. Side note, someone made the statue and the statue had its own energy, it felt like, aside from...
You heard that too, yeah, That's what Gabriel said. We should probably talk to him.
Yeah, I was like, where is Gabriel?
Gabriel is with his parents. They are actually kind of not too far away from you. And as you look over to them, you get the feeling that they were maybe eyeing you to figure out when would be a good time to break in and talk to you.
Okay, I think we should talk to Gabriel let's just let Porla go, okay? I mean, like, I don't want us to
get all... I worry about her as well, though. If the fence is actually down and she goes there by herself and she is clearly not having a good time and none of us are, but if she's going off by herself and it's nighttime and it's...
Do you want me to follow her? I can follow her.
I don't want us to split anymore.
Well, someone has to follow her.
I could wild shape into something and follow her.
Again, that's just someone leaving, though.
Well, if we don't want her to be alone...
We all go.
Someone, well, okay. So we'll just talk to Gabriel after?
I don't know.
No, we can't all follow her.
What if Aveline and I went together?
Yes.
Don't feel great about this, but we have to talk to Gabriel. Nariah's shoulders just kind of drop like mid-sentence because I do not have an answer. I'm just very worried on many levels, and I don't know what to do about it, so I'm just kind of looking to everyone like, well.
I would like to activate, it's one of my Kalashtar racial traits, which is called Mind Link Response, which Ooh. Basically lets me connect telepathically with someone for an hour and allows them to speak telepathically with me. I would like to Mind Link with Kit, because... I know we've both seen Porla in the last few years, and I don't know if the others know, and I don't necessarily want to tell everyone else about what happened with my interaction with Porla 2.5 years ago, but I know I talked to Kit about it, so I kind of just, I don't know if it looks like anything, but I think I kind of just, we've probably done it before, so I think maybe I have a signal with each of you that's like, hello, yes, we are activating the telepathy here.
A lot of Morse code tapping.
Yeah, I like...
She would have had to change the signal a few times as people figured out other people's.
I like, look it's at full baseball. And flip my braid so it's like hanging over the other shoulder while I like stare at him really intently. Another prolonged eye contact moment.
Wow, this group loves prolonged.
Yeah.
and just like sign language.
Yeah. We learned like, it different from you. Life.
And I think to Kit,
are you as worried about her as I am? Because I'm pretty worried about her and her reaction to that statue.
I am worried about her. I'm not actually worried about her getting hurt, but I'm worried about her making a stupid decision now.
If
something could take advantage of her, she could make a deal that she doesn't want to make. I don't know. I trust you and Windswift to go out there. I mean, you saw what Windswift did, and obviously Windswift doesn't hear this. That was crazy. I think you'll be fine.
Okay. The mind link channel. Oh, we can only use it if we can see each other and we're within 50 feet. So if I'm leaving with Windswift, we can't stay in contact. But yeah, I think we have this little like conversation.
And I look at Daria, I guess, and I say, I know you don't want to split up, but I don't know. I'm worried about Porla. I think we all are.
I mean, I know it's stupid given that, again, we've been split up for... It's just right now, like, given the past, like, half hour, it kind of outweighs the decade. But I know. Someone should maybe go, but also we should maybe get Gabriel, because...
What if we'll say we meet back at somewhere in an hour?
Yeah, I was going to say, how far away is the electric fence? I mean, we don't have to be gone long. We just want to make sure. We just want to keep an eye on Porla.
I mean, again, you all know. We can go back to my brother's house. Because it's safe and it's close by.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone would come looking.
I think that sounds good.
An hour, okay?
Okay,
hour.
So Windswip and I will go to the fence and we'll see you guys at your brother's house in an hour?
Yeah.
We'll be there. Believe in us. Believe in all of us. We can do this.
Okay. All right. Naruto voice. Okay. Believe it!
Believe it. Yeah, Naruto is there. Yeah.
Naruto survived the apocalypse, but also, you know, like in this world, it was brought back using the things that made the previous world inept. Like, we brought back
the
magic.
Gods,
Naruto exists.
Oh, wow. Naruto really spoke to the nation.
Naruto is a real human person now.
There's a whole new school of magic that's like the shadow jutsu, and like maybe that's what the necromancy is.
Shadow jutsu. All right, well, twist. Yeah. Truly kill all of this bit.
As you split up once again after only having been reunited for one night, we are going to take a little break. But stay tuned for when we come back and have to fight Sasuke's shitty older brother.
Hey, Questies. I hope you're enjoying what you're experiencing here tonight. If you're having fun, tell a friend. If your friends can read, you can copy-paste the review you're about to write us. Your friends peer-review it, you have a Google Doc about it, and once you know that it's the best thing that you've ever written, you put it on Apple Podcasts. You put it on Spotify. You tweet about it. You write it down on a piece of paper and send it down the river and hope someone finds it. Tell your mom. Does your mom like D&D? She does now.
Thank you, Netta. And remember, everybody, there's absolutely no better feeling than being able to say, I was into this thing before it was popular. So just to make sure that everybody knows that you were into this first, you know, get in there, leave a 5-star review, leave a nice comment, tell everybody, first say, I discovered this new thing, I'm a hipster, and thus I am going to be winning the cool competition forevermore, and no one can ever beat me. If you want to be the champion of the cool competition, let it be known that this is your favorite podcast. We also have a Patreon, patreon.com/questlaidplans, where we currently have an episode of our new bonus show, Pitch a Bitch. And we've got a new episode of that coming fairly soon as of time of release of this, I think. We've also got a lot of really awesome bonus content planned for the future of our Patreon, including a peek into notebooks of the cast, stat blocks of our homebrew monsters and mechanics, and much more, including silly outtakes. So check that out if you want, patreon.com/questlaidplans. Thanks so much for listening again, and now back to the show. And we're back. Windswip and Aveline are going to go after Porla, and the rest are going to attempt to talk to Cabriel and get more information about what he felt when the weird magical effect of the statue happened. So I believe we're going to start by, I don't know, I might just like flip a coin.
Yeah.
That feels right.
Roll that right, D2. So,
all right, I'll flip a D2.
Let fate and dice tell the story.
Okay, so we are going to start with Windswip and Aveline.
So I'm not very fast, Aveline, and I think we want to keep up with Porla a little bit. So I guess what I am trying to ask here,
do you want me to turn into something that can carry you?
I mean, you said it, not me. but yeah, that's what I was hoping. Otherwise, I mean, I can try to keep up with you, but I'm going to fall a little bit behind. you're tall, and I'm currently not tall. What do you think, though? I don't want you to burn one of your resources if you don't want to.
I have to look up what I can turn into, because...
Yeah, baby.
Not allowed to fly.
Speaking from experience, you can very much be horse.
Oh, wait! I have the thing from my antler necklace that lets me be... I can be elk. While wearing my antler necklace of admonition, I can use my wild shape feature to transform into an avatar of admonition, the two-horned horse, which uses the giant elk stat block, without expending a use of my wild shape.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
Amazing.
Fuck yeah. What does that look like when your necklace transforms you? I want like a full Sailor Moon transformation.
So normally the necklace it's kind of like a choker around my neck. And I think what I have to do is I have to like take it off and put it onto my head, like a kind of coronet tiara type thing.
Ooh.
And then I make a little fiery spark and the horns grow, like the antlers grow into elk antlers. And I just kind of become this sort of fiery elk, and then the fire dissipates and, I am become elk.
Wow.
I can't talk as an animal, but I can use my mind link. So I mind link with Windswip and say, hop on.
Wow, that was incredible. Oh, well, I've never seen you turn into this before. Okay.
This one's new. And as a giant elk, I have a walking speed of 60 feet instead of 30 feet. So we can move twice the distance. I guess it's pretty obvious being an elk in like a campus, but yeah.
That is so great. Thank you so much. I'm so excited. Okay, how do I get on? Okay, she reaches up. Don't know how tall your elk form is, but she is currently 4'1".
It's a giant elk, so pretty big.
Okay.
A huge beast. I think I kind of very awkwardly, you know how when horses try and lie down, they have to go down like one knee first each and it looks really awkward and wobbly? I do that and then let you kind of clamber on and then have to very awkwardly stand up again.
Yes, exactly.
I'm going to say this is an athletics check for Windswift. Okay. You can have the help action because, you know, the thing you're trying to climb is working with you and not against you.
All right.
But I'm going to say like DC 14.
Oops. Okay. Okay. Advantage. Good with the help action. Thank you. Okay. I made it on the second one. 18.
All right. So it takes a few tries. It's a little awkward, but you eventually manage to sort of half climb, half get scooped onto the back of giant elk Aveline. Admonition. It's not really an elk. I should stop saying elk. It's like, because it's a horse with, instead of one unicorn horn, it's like two bicorn horns, which is the form of admonition.
Got it. Very cool. I do think Winslow feels a twinge of mild pain in her bad knee. She does this, ooh, but we made it. We're here. And that was totally a time saver thing. Let's go. Yeah, she thinks back, connects in the mind link. She's like, all right, she went that way. Let's go.
And I start trotting in the direction of Paula's office.
Yeah, so you know the Adventuring Guild, the campus is fairly big, but the administrative building, it's all just kind of in one building. Most of it is dedicated to, like, training halls and dormitories. And so you assume that it's in, you know, the main administrative building, and you know where that is because you've spent a lot of time here in your youth. So I'm going to say you just go right there. You trot back the way you came, and as you kind of go down the hill away from the chaos, it's definitely dark at this point. Maybe not fully pitch black, but getting dark in kind of that bluish way where everything's a little bit dreamy and confusing. And as you come down the hill and you start to see the lights of the main campus come on, you are greeted with the familiar building. The tents are starting to come down because the festivities for the day are ending. So it's really just this main structure, and the architecture of it is very familiar to you and very recognizable as early, early post-Great Waking architecture, which is to say it's comprised of a lot of mishmash of salvaged materials. There's salvaged wood that looks like it's a little singed and propped up with random, you know, steel I-beams. And there's like a marble pillar for some reason that's half crumbled, and everything is sort of slapped together in the way that things were rebuilt right after everybody came back. And as you enter, you see a directory on the wall of the offices. There aren't very many. There's Kyrelius and Willa, and you feel a twinge of weirdness as you realize they are deceased. And you find Porla's name. You see Porla Archimedes, office 203.
We didn't see Porla on the way in at all. We didn't like catch up at any point.
You didn't. You didn't see any sign of her.
Okay, I don't know if she's going to be in the office because we didn't see her on the way in at all. So let's take a quick look, but she might actually have gone somewhere else, like the fence or the wall where people were thinking.
So her office is, if it's 203, can we assume that's on the second floor?
Sure.
Would we know... would we know the layout of the building well enough to know like which window might be hers?
I'm gonna say I want you to roll for it, but I'm trying to figure out what it would be.
History check, maybe?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. One of you give me a history check.
I can do it if you wanna.
I only have plus one to history.
Yeah, I've plus six. So
yeah, you make that check.
Okay. We'll see where it goes. I rolled poorly, though, so it was only a 9.
I think that given the weird ramshackle architecture of this place, that you would know that it's hard to figure out what window corresponds to what interior room from the outside.
You know, I always admire the early mishmash era of architecture, but it's so hard to track, so I genuinely can't remember if it was that window on that corner or kind of just, you know, because it's not like straight floors. There's like 2.5 floors up there. So
yeah, I remember all those mezzanines.
Yeah.
Great for
sneaking around and smoking out the windows on in the stairwells.
Yeah.
And by smoking, I mean making smoke with
right,
magic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah.
I've never smoked.
Okay, that's
Aveline is lying.
Yeah, that's very cool. I think we just gotta rush inside. And I know you're not in a form that may be comfortable inside.
Yeah, I think maybe horses struggle with stairs.
Our great enemy is just a flight of stairs.
do you maybe want to go up and try and check her office, and I can wait here and keep watch and see if maybe she comes past, just in case she hasn't gone into the building or she's gone somewhere else and then is going into the building? Or is that...
I don't see how that could go wrong. In it.
Once I am no longer horse, I can't do it again without using up one of my wild shapes. So
yeah. No, I don't mind. I don't see how that could be a problem. Like, nothing's gonna happen in this office at all. Absolutely, it's just a normal office. I'll go as fast as I can. I wish I hadn't used my levitate earlier for flavor, but
the cause of flavor.
Because it would have really come in handy right now, but that's okay. Windswip just kind of like drop off, won't bother with a nice clean landing because speed is of the essence, and kind of rush into the building to find office 203.
Okay, Windswip, you enter the building and you are able to, despite the weird architecture, navigate well enough. It's pretty well signed. The signage is better now than it was when in your day. Now everything is very clearly labeled. So you're able to find Porla's office relatively easily. It's up a flight and a half of stairs, those crazy mezzanines. And it's a fairly grand door. It's not tucked away or hidden anywhere. You can get the impression that it's kind of the guild's equivalent of a corner office. So you approach the door, which is a large carved oak door. It's a beautiful piece of art.
Windswip is not in a mind to admire it, so she just yanks it open if it is open.
It is, yeah.
Okay.
The door swings in.
Thank God.
And you see a lovely office. Porla is a very meticulous person, and this has been true the whole time you've known her and does not appear to have changed in any way based on anything you've seen today. It's a beautifully organized office. Huge shelves line the walls. Again, kind of some of them very antique looking and look like they've been crafted, but perhaps in the same fashion as the door. Some of them look like they might have been from the legendary Emporium IKEA, I believe it was pronounced. So just a real mashup. But they look...
Are you committing to IKEA having survived the apocalypse?
No, I'm saying that you've heard tales of it. You've heard tales of this land to which people would journey in order to get fine appointments for their lairs.
And,
cool,
and
they, so that's canon.
They had a special like pictographic language, right? That was universal.
It was interesting. It was a dialect that was a combination of pictograms and this other language, but fake. And they were weirdly enough known mostly for their food, despite being a furniture
very good meeples.
Sales place.
I also know that very few adventurers were able to escape. That it was the lands was a very complicated maze of twists
and
turns.
Yeah, it was a real labyrinth.
Yeah.
Yes, it was seen as sort of a coming of age quest when young people ventured out on their own, left their families' homes, and set out to have a dwelling of their own. It was seen as a rite of passage to enter and then find your way out of Achaea.
Only the truest of heart can.
And speaking of true hearts as well, it was a challenge. If you wanted to marry someone, you had to go through the gauntlet of IKEA together, make it out of the maze, and then successfully assemble a piece of furniture. And only after that were you able to ask for someone's hand in marriage.
It's true. There was a time when it was a very important cultural touchstone, and you could always tell who had emerged triumphant from the maze by their token of the adorable shark, the Blahaj.
one of the rejected gods from the current era is a shark.
It's the Plage. It's a very IKEA dunk show now. There's not like
the this is the longest bit of all time.
So anyway, cram into this bit.
Yeah, exactly.
IKEA sponsor us.
IKEA sponsor us, please.
Megan, really quick before we get back into it, with the leveling up, at what point have we leveled up after finishing the battle, or are we going to level up when we like long rest?
So we're fudging it a little bit, and so I'm not going to be super super picky about where we draw the line, but essentially I'm going to say that you have leveled up as far as having the like restoration of things that comes with it. We're going to wait for a rest.
Okay. But I would have a fourth level spell slot now.
Yeah.
Okay. Tight.
Yes. But you wouldn't get back any of the ones you'd already spent.
That's fine.
I've sort of been thinking of it. Some of the rust has gotten shaken off with the first fight and some of it is
coming back. Yeah, exactly.
But we're still in bad shape physically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as HP goes, like, I guess I'm more interested in, like, what proportion of it was gone than, like, exact numbers. So if your max increases, then you can sort of, like, you know, in Pokemon when you level up and, like, yeah. You know, in RPGs, like, you know, in role-playing games. Okay.
It's, mostly that I just remembered that one of the fourth level spell that I prepared was locate creature, which might come in handy right about now.
Ooh, yeah.
I would say hold on to it if we don't find her in the office.
Yeah.
Okay. So Windswip, you don't see any sign of Porla. Give me an investigation check. Or perception. We'll start with perception because you haven't said like I would like to investigate XYZ, so we'll do perception.
Cool. They're the same modifier for me. I thought, oh wait, is this, it's an 11, but one of the ones is like faded, so I thought it was having one, but it's definitely an 11, so 14.
That's a dangerous die to have.
Yeah. I didn't realize that it had kind of been rubbed out. Yeah, all right.
So with a 14, you notice that despite the overall organization scheme of the office being just airtight, immaculate, very Porla, the desk, the table is strewn with materials that look like they were left about in a hurry. And you get the feeling that whoever, presumably Porla, I don't know why I said whoever, but you get the feeling that, assuming Porla was the last person here, that she didn't think anyone besides her was going to be the next person to come back.
Okay, Winship will. She doesn't want to invade Porla's privacy necessarily. She's being very cognizant of this being an emotionally delicate situation, but she does want to know where Porla is, and so she's going to very quickly skim those papers to see if maybe there is any kind of clue or hint as to what is front of mind for Porla right now.
Sure. So first of all, as you get closer and you start to sort of carefully lift the papers and move them around, you see that a couple of them had been obscuring an object that you now see very clearly. It is a card on a lanyard, and it has a photograph on it. It looks like an ID card of some kind. You recognize it as maybe a slightly newer, updated design of the kind of cards that the employees wore when you were here. And you see that the photograph on the card, just immediately without even thinking, gosh, let me look and read this card, it's of like an old man that is just not, it's not Porla's ID. You can tell right off the bat.
Okay. And it's not someone that she recognizes.
Give me a history check.
Come on, roll better this time. I'm do well in this situation. Okay. 10.
You feel intensely guilty and privileged because you know you've seen this person around campus, but you never bothered to ask their name. You never bothered to find out, you know, how long have they been working here? Where do they live? What kinds of things do they enjoy? You would just see them, you know, you have vague snippets of memory of them raking leaves or emptying a trash can. You're just not.
Okay.
It's the kind of thing you realize now as an older person, it would have been much better to get to know that person, but you don't know their name. You just feel like they maybe perhaps work on campus or look like somebody who does.
I'm having a lot of, I need a serious moment of self-reflection about what my priorities are. But I also want to know who this is. She flips over the card. Is there any actual name or ID or any reason why Porla would have any indication she'll look at the other papers too. Is this somebody that Horla is like investigating, HR Lee kind of thing?
So I'll tell you, when you look at to see if you know this person,
but I can't think of it.
No, I get it. When you go to see who the person's photo is, and if you recognize this person, you see the name, you try to see if you recognize the name. It's the same thing of you don't know the name, but it may be you've heard people say it. And the name is Primo Krugnail.
Wow. Really wish that I'd asked him that. Because that is a name. That is a name worth knowing.
Yeah, so Primo Krugnail. And then underneath it says head of maintenance and grounds.
Okay, great. So there's something going on with Horla and this guy, or there was. And meanwhile, there was a breach in grounds at some point that let this happen. Okay.
If you want to, I know you had said you also wanted to take a look at the papers. If you want to make an investigation check on those, I can tell you how much information you're able to glean.
Okay, yeah, let's try it. An actual investigation. Okay, dirty 20.
For a dirty 20.
Finally.
You take a look at these papers and you have a moment where you start to see some connections forming, and we're going to come back to you.
Okay. All right.
All right. We are now going to...
It's like a beautiful mind stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Exactly. We're now going to go back to the scene of the crime, as it were, where Kit and Esther and Naraya have stayed behind. Folks, I will hand it off to you.
Is Brex with us too?
Yes. Brex definitely stayed with you.
I mean, Brex had just been brought back to consciousness.
Right.
Yeah, and they had kind of a weird history with Porla. I don't think they would have been particularly like, let's go check on Porla.
Mm.
Yeah.
Esther is going to turn to Brex. Well, first, Esther's going to, like, do, like, a shake. Like, I just tried to read the mind of an old friend.
Are you okay?
Just didn't think we were going to get to this point right away. You're That's, like, weird. Shit that I pull at work. And I really didn't want to bring that to this.
So you're like halfway through. Age 21, you have drawn the Queen of Pentacles. Your character now has advantage on insight. So that's a mechanic that's going to carry over to like when we actually play, even if you're leveled down. How did they get so insightful?
So her name's Elysian, his girlfriend. Or his ex-girlfriend.
That's a hot elf name.
Yeah, yeah.
Elysia.
Have to do it.
Like the fields?
Yeah, exactly like the fields. I also sort of love the idea that like things from the like past, like from our current time, are now these sort of like mythic things, you know? So after Elysian breaks up with him, I think for like 5-6 months, he just becomes like stagnant. Like he's like, I can't do anything that is correct for me, that helps me, that feels good. But I think he still like does have this moment of like pulling deep and bringing up that advice of Kit, and of probably he's like thinking so much about his mom and her belief in him, and like he almost believes so much in his mom that her belief in him is inspiring. It's like this counter thing of like he can't believe in it in himself, but he can believe in her believing in him.
Yeah.
And I think that then he just, like, does gain a real degree of, like, that quiet inner self-reflection. You know, like, that ability to be, like, the advantage of silence and not being the first one to do something and waiting to see a person's next move. And, like, slowly through this time of just him sort of being casted away from the extreme hustle of, like, his family's lifestyle, he then is able to like start to see it all from like a bird's eye view, to sort of see the like puppetry and like the strings of it all. Yeah, so I think that's how his insight becomes advantageous.
I'm gonna ask about this later.
Yeah. Brex, what is up with Porla, man?
I don't know. I I already told Naraya, but yeah, it was, I mean, I stayed here. I was part of this guild for a long time, and, you know, Paula, she rose up the ranks, and I think she just wanted me to stay, and I got a better opportunity, and she was not happy about that. She really wanted me to stay and help her with this this memorial, and she really had her heart set on this specific statue and wanting me to be involved in it, and I don't know, I was like, it's a statue, like, I would think Chiron would want us to go out and live our lives, so I did.
Brex, involved, did she specify how you would be involved in this statue? Making it, or something else?
Not really. Like, that's why it was weird to me. I was like, well, I'm terrible at art. Like, what am I gonna do? There was talk at one point of getting maybe, like, some older armor or sword or something that had belonged to Chiron as, like, to use as, like, a model for it or something. But I was like, well, I don't know Chiron's family. You know Chiron's family, Paula. Like, again, I don't understand why it has to be me, and she just accused me of not being supportive.
So Kit looks over at Cabriel and goes, Brex, so how did Cabriel get roped into all of this? Do you know? Should we talk to him?
I've got no idea. He was involved when I got back. It kind of felt like I'd been replaced.
Huh.
So did Paula just now seem extra weird and sketchy? Or is this just who Paula has become now?
A little of column A, a little of column B. I think it's pretty in character for her. But I mean, yeah, she was really upset, and I kind of don't get it either.
She was mad at Cabriel for, well, for the statue thing, and I get it, because she's worked so hard, but kind of fucked up to be mad at, like, I mean, he lost his sister, and it's kind of fucked up to be like, hey, you've ruined my statue, and I'm mad about that.
Yeah, well, I think the thing that you will need to understand about Paula is that nobody is sadder than Paula, ever. Nobody is ever grieving harder than Paula. It's just not possible.
So
it's
what?
So strange. You know, she reached out to me not long after everything happened, and she was supportive and great. I don't get it. I don't remember her being like this back then. Something's happened.
Should we go talk to Cabriel? If I were him, I'd want to go home and be with my parents, and we should probably catch him before he does that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna, like, dust myself off and head over. Kind of, like, pushing Esther in front of me, because Lord knows one of us can talk better.
Yeah, I'm also behind Esther, and okay. I think I'm still holding the Strigoi.
Not agreeing to it. Okay, great.
You're just more of a... You gave a speech earlier.
Okay. Esther walks up to Cabriel. Just so hard to make eye contact in any way. Nearly impossible. Esther's looking at his
Your secret
feet.
Weapon.
I've lost everything. Esther's looking at... Yeah. Just really struggling. Hands in his pockets. So, Gabriel, that was actually pretty impressive, what you did. You've been working hard. I can tell. You got in pretty dang strong.
He claps you on the shoulder. He appears to have gotten some of his dobiness back in the interim.
Aww.
And he says, oh man, that means so much coming from you, dude. I like, mm-hmm. Man, I thought you were like so cool when I was growing up. It's like, it's crazy. That means a lot. Yeah, I mean, I tried my best. I think Porla's pretty pissed about it, but I mean, at least that thing's gone. I'm just, you know, glad my parents are okay and you guys are all right.
Yeah. Have there been attacks like that before? Recently, or?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've never seen one of those things. Have you?
No. I didn't know if it was, something new that was happening in back home.
No, I mean, like, I don't live here either, man, but I think, I don't know, I would have heard if that was an issue. I mean, I like to think Porla would have said something if there was some sort of, like, danger to this event she was planning. She was just so gung-ho about it that every detail had to be right. I'm sure, you know, if monsters were going to attack, we would have known, or she would have told us.
Yeah.
Gabriel, did you help Porla make that statue?
Oh, not really. I gave her some, I think I gave her some, or maybe my parents gave her some pieces of Chiron's armor, and I think that's what the sparkly bits in it were, the metal bits. I think they had, like, melted it down, is my understanding. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm more of a performing arts guy, as you know, so the material, the physical media are a little bit esoteric to me, bro.
Yeah. Protect this himbo bard at all costs.
Yeah. I adore him.
I love him.
Main character.
This is the Gabriel show now. It's not Quest Light Plans anymore.
The variety show.
When, you know, at the end there, you know, when that explosion happened, that was nuts. That was wild. Was that you?
Oh my god, right? It was crazy. No, and I have never felt anything like that. Like, I'm not, like, you know, a legend like any of you, but I've been working on my magic and stuff, and like I like to think I'm pretty good at what I do. I've never experienced anything like that. I mean, like, I kind of specialize in, you know, animating objects and, like, you know, breathing life into things. And it's, you know, it's just, I know how it's supposed to feel when you put your magic into an inanimate object, and it just felt like something was already in there.
Huh.
I don't really know how else to explain it, but when I tried to put my magic in there, I felt like I got pushed out, and then it exploded.
Oh.
I'm still stuck on Gabriel and everyone. Do we know if, I mean, obviously someone knew that this was happening, and if someone else was doing magic, it's either someone very powerful or someone who was here. And both of those are terrifying options. What do we think?
I mean, this is wild. This is a wild thing. Porla seemed very preoccupied, like, with the blood, for instance, and getting the essence of different people. Mm. And apparently, I mean, Gabriel, she took the armor, right?
Well, yeah, we gave it to her. It was, like, part of the artist's vision, I guess.
Was it the armor that she was wearing, you know, when everything happened?
I don't know, honestly. It might have been. The thing with Chiron is she had, you know, an aesthetic, and she had a lot of suits of armor, and they all looked exactly the same to me. So it might have been. I'm gonna be honest with you, I was really little when it all went down, and I don't even know what survived.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just worried that, well, I just wonder if Porla is trying to really dabble in this act of infusing identity.
Are you suggesting Porla's...
Do we need to be talking about this right now?
No. Well, you're right. We don't need to be... Yeah.
I think, Gabriel, you have done so fucking much today, and it's...
He just, like, beams. Just, like, lights up.
It is really amazing seeing you, and our Gabriel and Chiron's parents are there as well, right? They're standing there as well, or are they?
Yeah, they're standing a ways off, kind of like pretending not to watch. I don't think they can really hear you per se, but
okay.
They're keeping eyes on Gabriel because he did almost just, you know, get devoured and stuff, and I think they're pretty overprotective of their remaining child at this point. Gabriel's like, man, thank you so much. I really ought to
I probably ought to, like, take my parents back to the hotel. It's been a weird day for them, and, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're tough, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but listen, we're still going to be around for at least the night and next day. So, you know, we're still here. Maybe we can connect before, you know, going off again.
Yeah, where are you guys all staying?
Everyone's staying at my brother's house.
Oh, cool. How do you get to your brother's house?
I give him just very detailed... it's like, well, you know, you walk down Main Street and then you look at the bakery and then you take a left and blah, blah, blah. I give him just like very specific instructions.
Cool.
And you look for the green door and...
Green door.
It's not the green door. It's the door
it's
after.
Not the green door. It's the door, Door after.
It's, okay. It's very important you see, that you stop and look at the bakery while you're going. You have to really take a moment to admire it.
You have to regard the bakery.
Oh, trust and believe, man. I never see a bakery I don't regard. All right. Well, yeah, I'll come find you if I'll say goodbye anyway before we head out. If you'll be here for a couple days.
If you think of anything else as well, just send word.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Guys, I'm so sorry this happened. I mean, I don't know what to say, but it's good to see you.
Oh, Megan, yeah. Question. What, this is something that I can figure out backstory as well, but is there like a New York, or like a New York City, like a metropolis town? Do you have a name at all?
I think that's sort of like where you're from, right?
Yeah.
I didn't name it. I don't name anything.
Feel free
for $1, name a city.
Literally. Yeah, so you can name your city whatever you want.
Okay. And listen.
Old York.
I give Gabriel a handshake and as smoothly as possible put a card in his hand that just says like Esther Miffians in like very, very, very like faint writing, you know? Like you almost have to like hold it under the light, certainly. And
is it
under
like
the back.
Black on black?
No. It's like a white card and like very like silver writing, like is the Ooh. Like the font of it.
Expensive.
And then the back is just an address. And it's like, so listen, you know, if you ever find yourself in Skylark, I'd love to take you out for a drink or just stay connected in any way. It is really great to see you.
I'm gripping Nariah's shoulder. And just, like, looking at her and just, like, squeezing, trying not to say anything.
Yeah, I'm giving Kid just the biggest, just, like, mouth open, just, like...
Can you spell the name of the city for me?
Yeah, so it's Skylark. So S-K-Y,
oh, like the bird. Okay.
And then the bird.
I love that.
Love it.
Kid, should we go? Should we, Kid, do you wanna, go look at that dead thing some more?
Wait,
any of the dead things.
Any of the, you know, that's not a bad idea. We haven't really looked at the what's it
yep.
called?
I'm gonna interrupt you guys as you guys are having this strategic conversation. You are actually your characters are interrupted by a figure in coveralls, kind of making their way towards you. And as they get closer in the darkness, you can see just sort of under the fairy lights that it is an older gentleman who is like,
hello, hey, you kids, you should probably get out of here. I've been ordered to evacuate everybody. It's kind of a rough situation right now. There's, well, you know, you've heard about the fence probably, but, you know, there's a fence that's supposed to keep things out and it's been deactivated.
Yeah, no,
I don't...
Yeah. Are the rough situation. Hi.
Can I do
all
a history
right,
check to see
ass.
If I recognize
that's
this man?
Sure.
Wow. We are the rough situation. Brilliant.
Is that our party name?
It's a
good
Early contender.
That's pretty good.
So anyway, that's 18 on my history check.
Sure. You remember Primo? He was like, you were, you know, Nariah, you were like that kid who like was always like
Nariah worked in campus ops.
Yeah, Nariah had a work study like part-time job in campus ops and like Primo's like,
"Wait a minute. Is that Nariah?"
Oh my god, Primo. Hi. The thing came in and we had to fight it. And sorry, I was mean to you just then. We are
Very stressed out. How's the fence?
Fence is down. Fence is dead. Y'all, you weren't mean. You were just, you know, you were getting business done. Sometimes, you know, you remember, I taught you well in maintenance. Sometimes you gotta be a little gruff with people. Just like I'm being a little gruff with you now. I've really got to evacuate everybody. It is not safe to be on campus right now.
I'm gonna turn to Kid Nestor. I mean, we did promise. We were supposed to meet back in, like, half an hour. So maybe we just let Primo do his work. I don't think we're gonna find anything else.
Can I do an insight check to see if Primo is, like, he actually was, you know, told to do this, or is he up and up?
Yeah, I intrinsically
make an up and up check.
Is Primo being Primo? You know,
Aveline is not here, but surely the evacuation is no longer necessary now that we've killed the things that people should be evacuating from. Or is there a
concern if the wall's down,
more stuff might come.
Yeah, it's like, you know how in Dune, which I wrote, there's
Stephen
more than
King?
One
is that
worm.
You? Wait, is it a Stephen King novel?
Nope, it's Frank Herbert. In my universe, Stephen King wrote Dune.
Every book.
Because Frank Herbert... No, I'm making this canon because Frank Herbert was a horrible human being that after the apocalypse, certain information got confused and it just became this common belief, like, in a Mandela effect way that Stephen King wrote Dune.
But it takes place in Maine.
Did survive the apocalypse.
Sure, yeah. Well, I think it's a helpful point of reference. Obviously, this is a world that's based on people's love for classic science fiction and fantasy.
Yeah.
So I think the reason I brought it up is because, like, noises attract the thingies. Mm-hmm. Just because you got one doesn't mean, you know, there
and
are more.
Stephen King wrote every book that we know.
I don't know anything about him as a person. He might suck too, but.
Oh, no. He's, as far as we know, pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
He just wrote a lot of books while doing a lot of cocaine, I think.
Yeah, like he just
80s.
Doesn't remember
and
writing
drinking
a lot of his
yeah.
books.
I mean, hey, that's all among us.
Who among us?
Who among us?
That's what you want to do. Okay, so yeah, give me an insight check on Primo.
That was a 7.
Here's what you get. You didn't know Primo very well. You know that Nariah knew Primo pretty well, and I think the only thing that gives you even a slight bit of pause is that it took Primo a second to recognize Nariah, but he also looks like 10 years older and he's like probably in his 80s. And so if anything, it's just like this is kind of an old man who just got a little fuzzier.
Okay, so I think I sort of sigh and say to Nariah, yeah, I guess we should get back.
We can always come back in the morning.
Yeah.
And I just kind of give Primo a look of, like, I will be coming back in the morning and you will let me in.
And he's like, well, we'll see. I don't know if the fence is going to get back up, but we're going to do our very best. I mean, you know, I've got my best guys on this. And by guys, I mean people of all genders because we don't discriminate here, you know?
And okay. As we're walking away, I like, whisper to Nariah and Esther. I'm like, who's even in charge to tell him to do anything?
Yo, who was that guy? I swear, I've never seen that guy before. In my freaking life.